Hello, everyone. Homecoming Hero here, and welcome to another episode of Late Night Sprites. Yes, that's right. This is the first installment of No Gaming Content November, so no video game-related stuff. But trust me, the video game content will be back in December to wrap up the end of the year with thoughts, reviews, and discussions, and more. But before I get to that, let's talk about non-gaming content for the month of November. So movies, TV shows, music, and more. But if you are new here, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for being here and welcome if you're new. If you're not new, thank you so much for sticking around. So today I wanted to talk about cartoon reboots and sequels because I have done that on the show before. I talked about Proud Family, Louder and Prouder quite a ways back, but instead of just talking about one, I wanted to talk about a bunch of them. And I actually wanted to revisit Louder and Prouder because when I first talked about Louder and Prouder, there was only one season. And now there's two seasons. And I wanted to talk about a few cartoon reboots as well as sequels as a whole. So, for example, I wanted to talk about Tiny Toons Looniversity. I wanted to talk about Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. I wanted to talk about the Animaniacs reboot. I just want to talk about a few reboots and sequels, probably DuckTales. And I just really wanted to talk about this idea as a whole and use these as examples while giving brief thoughts on them. That doesn't mean I'm not done talking about these. I might even revisit this topic towards the end of the month or in the near future when I don't feel like talking about video games. And so all of the shows here I might even talk about again in the future. But I have watched two seasons of the Animaniacs reboot. I did not watch season three. I've watched a good handful of episodes of Tiny Toons Looniversity. I watched two seasons of Louder and Prouder, and I have watched all of, or most of, the DuckTales reboot. I've watched a ton of episodes, and I've watched a few episodes on repeat over and over and over again. So, when it comes to the idea of a cartoon reboot, I don't hate it. Reboots can prove that they are good and can stand on their own. I know when some people hear reboot, they think of like Disney live action reboot. They think of like Aladdin or Lion King, and they're not a fan of that. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you for not liking those, because most of the times when Disney remakes a movie like Lion King, I am not on board for it because there is the argument that you need to leave good enough alone. And I agree with that too. Sometimes reboots do not work. Sometimes reboots don't work well. And that's also where the sequel series comes in. So like the sequel idea. So for example, Mary Poppins Returns is a sequel to Mary Poppins, but with a different set of actors and ideas in a London that's far into the future. So that's a sequel series. Louder and Prouder is called a reboot, but it's also a sequel because it references the original series. It has clips from the original series, and even though it has a new animation style, it's mostly all of the same characters and they're older. It's a sequel series. So reboots and sequel series are usually kind of paired up together. Tiny Toons Looniversity is a straight-up reboot. The characters are meeting each other for the first time. The relationship dynamics are different. The character traits, some are similar, some are different. There are new characters. And when the characters interact with each other, they don't acknowledge a history of a series being before it. It's almost like a whole separate universe. It's like how every time a superhero franchise reboots, someone else can don the suit of Spider-Man, or someone else can don the suit of Captain America, and so forth, but that's technically a different universe. So, you know, Peggy Carter becoming Captain America instead of Steve Rogers is over there, and then in this other universe that started it all, Steve Rogers is still Captain America. So Reboots and original properties can coexist with each other. Some people act like reboots and sequel series is, well, reboots in particular feel like reboots erase what they love. So if there's like an iteration of something you love, like say there's an iteration of Scooby-Doo that is aimed towards adults and dumps all over everything that you loved about Scooby-Doo, just don't watch it. Don't even hate watch it. Don't even name the show if you have a podcast. Just let that show die. That show deserves to. And you know the one. Just go back to watching a version of Scooby-Doo you like. Go back to watching Mystery Incorporated. Mystery Incorporated didn't erase a pup named Scooby-Doo or What's New Scooby-Doo from existence when they came out. You know, like my version of, let's see here, my DVD box of Spectacular Spider-Man didn't disintegrate into dust when Ultimate Spider-Man came out. Do I like Ultimate Spider-Man? Absolutely not. But things that you love still exist. This is where sequel series are a little tricky. Because even though they bring new ideas, they bring new technology. So, for example, like with the Proud Family reboot, Louder and Prouder, suddenly everybody has like cell phones with touch screens and PSPs, even though the original Proud Family was so early 2000s. Although I think it's hilarious that Oscar still has a flip phone. And the technology changes, but the world... The weird thing about Louder and Prouder is that the world is still the same. The characters are still in school. They are only slightly older. Like, I think only like 1 or 2 years older than they were in the Proud Family. But they have all the new technology and all of these new modern day issues. So a sequel series can take place in the same world, feel like a reboot, and change things ever so slightly, and reference the past while changing with the present and putting the characters that we know in new environments. So basically changing up enough, but not as much. So it's the characters we love from back then in our world now. It feels like a reboot, but it technically isn't. I had to clarify the difference between a reboot and a sequel series and go through them both really quickly because it can be a little bit of a tangled mess. You can go into something like with me, with Tiny Toons University, thinking it's going to be a sequel series, thinking there's going to be these fun callbacks to the original, only to see that it's starting over from scratch and that these characters like Buster and Plucky meet each other for the first time and they have to reestablish their relationship. It's not the way it was in Tiny Toons Classic. And I find that interesting that, you know, there are some workarounds for companies to do, like, oh, we are just starting over from scratch, we want this whole new idea, and some people try to have their cake and eat it too and be like, oh no, it's the same characters you know and love, but they live in our times. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. For me personally, I prefer a straight-up reboot over a sequel series. I feel like a reboot, when you start from the ground floor, you have time to reestablish characters, introduce new ones that weren't there before, interact with each other, change a few things, and when you reboot it, you can tell a whole fresh story without erasing the story that came before it. So, for example, DuckTales, you start from zero. You start with these characters we know, Scrooge, Donald, Huey, Dewey, Louie. But then you build off of it and you build a new world. Instead of going like, oh, we took a summer vacation and now we're back with the same old Scrooge and Webby and Mrs. Beakley. A reboot gives you a chance to keep similar characters but change them in new ways. A reboot gives you a chance to start over and tell fresh stories or change the world or change the rules around them while keeping the characters. A sequel series is slightly tied to its original in the fact that it has to keep certain character dynamics. It has to continue plot threads. It has to acknowledge characters where an actor might not be available anymore. So they have to get rid of that character in a creative way. So me personally, I know studios aren't going to stop it, but I would prefer reboots because that gives new teams opportunities to make new worlds and new stories to tell with these characters. And after the transition, I will probably get into deeper details on why some of these reboots work and some of them don't. Because there are some series that are hybrids between the two, like Animaniacs, that I'm going to be talking about, where Animaniacs is technically a sequel series because it keeps acknowledging the past, but it's a reboot according to Hulu, and they call themselves a reboot. So you get this very confusing middle ground. So I also, if one is going to be a sequel series or one is going to be a reboot, I would prefer it to be just one. I would prefer it to choose what it is. And I think that's where Animaniacs has tripped up. That's where something like Proud Family Louder and Prouder has tripped up a little bit, because it tries to be a little bit of both. Futurama, I still need to watch more. I watched the first episode of Futurama and I was so unimpressed that I haven't finished it, so maybe I will talk about Hulurama at some point. As someone who adores Futurama and the humor in it and loves Futurama almost as much as something like The Simpsons, that I absolutely had to... My hype was over the moon for Hulurama, and then the hype immediately fizzled out after the first episode, but I think I need to give it a couple more tries. So Hulurama is not going to be brought up. Those were my initial impressions with Hulurama, but as someone who loves Futurama, I should probably go back to that. But yes, stick with me here, because after the transition, I'm going to be diving into some reboots and sequel series that I think work and some that I think don't work as much and why. So get ready. So spoilers are ahead. So I've been kind of vague going forward if you wanted to hear my thoughts on the topic so far. But now going ahead, I'm going into detail with a lot of these series. I've been super vague on purpose for the first half, but the second half now, not so much. And again, thank you for tuning in to No Gaming Content November. This has been a little bit of a challenging idea. At first I was thinking maybe I should backpedal and delete the Halloween special and just make gaming content because so many games have been coming out this year. But no, I'm sticking with it. It's 1 month and I can do it. And I thank you for sticking with this with me. So get your snacks, get your favorite shows in mind ready. Think of some of your favorite reboots or sequel series. Think of some of your least favorite reboots and sequel series, and I will see you in a quick moment. So stay tuned, because the Late Night Sprite Show is far from over, and it's time to dive into some cartoons. Let's go. Thank you for sticking around. Did you get your snack? Did you get your water? Did you get your choice of hydration? Well, I hope you did, because this is going to be a little bit of a deep dive. So, as mentioned in the last part, I'm going to be talking about some reboots and sequel series and giving my thoughts on them. Very brief. I might expand on some of them in the future. Maybe even give a couple of them dedicated episodes. And I wanted to start with Tiny Toons Looniversity, because that is one of the big ones that inspired this episode as a whole. So Tiny Toons Looniversity takes the characters we know and love, and it puts them in college. I thought Acme Looniversity was a college back then, but I guess Acme Looniversity was maybe a middle school or a high school. But yes, the Tiny Toons are in college, so that means you get gen eds and prank weeks and ooh, college shenanigans, like wacky house party. And it's fine. I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. So, Tiny Toons Looniversity is kind of funny, but I feel like one of the things that Tiny Toons Looniversity suffers from is its episode length. So, most versions of classic Tiny Toons, classic Animaniacs, which I'll address even carried over into the Animaniacs reboot were the fact that it would be two stories in two episodes. So you would get one episode that lasts about 8, 9, 10 minutes. You would get a segment in the middle, and then you get another one. And you get these very snappy, very quick episodes. It's almost like eating a piece of candy. It's short, it's sweet, but you do want another piece of it. With Tiny Toons Looniversity, every episode is 30 minutes long. You are dealing with one plot from A to B to C all at once. So Buster and Plucky aren't getting along, and they're rivals, and Hampton wants to be a doctor, and Sweetie and Babs are, I don't know, cleaning their room or something. And that's a typical episode. You'll have 2 to 3 plot lines in one thing. And for me, it hits even worse when all of them are on the same team. Like for the Prank Week episode, where it's all of them as a group working together, then the plot drags because it's them making pranks against a rival college, and they get pranked, and the college gets pranked, and then they get pranked back. And by the middle of the episode, I'm feeling tired, but guess what? There's more pranks. We're going to hammer in the prank here. We're going to show Buster and Babs like trying to outdo the others and getting way too competitive, which, by the way, some of the morals in this show repeat themselves already within the first season. There are like 2 to 3 episodes about not being too hyper competitive and just being yourself and having fun. Because every episode also has kind of like this forced moral in it. And that's fine. Morals are great. I love a good moral when it's delivered well in a cartoon or when it's delivered well in a show. Adventure Time, Steven Universe, they deliver certain morals about forgiveness or moving on super well. That being said, Tiny Toons Looniversity, it's your base morals. Now, this is airing on Cartoon Network and on Max at the same time, and I feel like for the group that are watching on Cartoon Network that this show might be aimed towards kids and less of fans of the original show. That being said, I guess it'll make kids look forward to going to college. I don't know. Like for me personally, a lot of the personalities are intact. It's a Buster and Babs instead of being friends who are sometimes in love with each other. They are now twin siblings who love each other very deeply in a familial way. So they changed that whole relationship. Then there's Plucky, who is still Plucky. He's still just baby Daffy. Hampton is super neurotic now, and he's just nervous all the time. I mean, even the theme song is Hampton is Worried. And the reason why is that Hampton is the son of a great stand-up comedian in Toon. And they address it like once or twice, but I wish they would dive into it more because I really do like the idea of Hampton not wanting to be this great stand-up comedian, but wanting to be something else like a therapist or a doctor and not wanting to disappoint his mom and his mom's legacy already like established with him. Like in the very first episode, Daffy's like, oh, that's Joan Swinefeld's son. And that's really cute. And Hampton has a cute little storyline. And then there's Sweetie, who's like Tweety, except she's super tough and likes to yell a lot. And she's like all rock and roll and stuff. And Sweetie's fine. I don't despise Sweetie. I've had worse characters in reboot shows that I might get to in a little bit. But that being said, this show is only okay. It's sometimes funny and it sometimes isn't. And the thing that really kills it for me that I hope they do is split up the stories. Do smaller bite-sized episodes and not these big episodes. Because then if you do an 8 to 10 minute episode, you can do a storyline with the whole group doing something crazy or fun, like throwing a party or something, and the storyline doesn't run thin, because when there's an A plot and B plot, that breaks up a little bit because Babs will be off doing this, Buster will be off doing that, and then you get two different ideas, you get two different stories, and you get changes in location and such. But when you do it with them as a big group of friends, then it wears out. So Tiny Toons Looniversity, I will continue to watch to see if it shapes up, but not all of the humor lands. They also try to force a lot of random song numbers, and some of the songs work and a lot of them don't. The humor doesn't always land. The humor works only sometimes, and it's okay. Granny is the Dean is the best character. Granny is the Dean has this huge, like, Madame Foster from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends up energy, and Granny rocks. Any sight gag with Granny, any sight gag that they do with her, or just piece of dialogue is amazing. Like, for example, there's an episode where they're throwing a party and she's like, and they cover it all up and they're like, oh, we're just studying, we're playing bongos and hanging out. And she's like, dang, y'all are weak. Back in my day, we were throwing giant parties here. And she just walks out. And that was hilarious. So anything with the Looney Tunes is great. Sometimes they subvert expectations with those. But a lot of these characters are the same as they were in Tiny Toons. Plucky is just Baby Daffy. Buster, they give Buster this like weird ideology of Bugs where he's like borderline obsessive with becoming the next Bugs. I hope they tone that down a little bit. Hampton has a fun storyline, and Dizzy is still just Dizzy. Dizzy is still just the Tasmanian devil if he was a purple baby. So, moving forward, let's talk about Animaniacs. And when Animaniacs started, I adored the first season mostly. One of the hardest pills to swallow is that throughout this entire series, it's the Warners, it's Pinky and the Brain, it's Ralph, Dr. Scratch and Sniff, and that's about it. This show, oh, and an overusage of Chicken Boo because he's just a chicken. Get it? It's Chicken Boo. Some of the songs in this are phenomenal. Some of the side gags that they try to do, because back in the day, they had gags, good idea, bad idea. They had all sorts of little short things. There's this weird gag involving an alien and a little girl that's not really funny, that's done in this, like, I forgot what the art style even was, but it was different. There's this hyper unsettling weird one about a gnome that comes out of a dude's mouth. That one, no. And I forgot there was like one or two other ones, but the idea is that they're trying to do sometimes every once in a while a little like throwaway thing. So before I dive into what I don't like, I'll dive into what I like. It gets creative, it gets funny. It's like the original. I know some people are like, oh, this new one's too political. People who say that Animaniacs is too political don't remember the original or Pinky and the Brain. Both of those, especially Pinky and the Brain, were hyper political back in their times. Like, they made a lot of jokes about the current president back then, and they do at that time. So it's not just, oh, Animaniacs suddenly became quote unquote woke. No, Animaniacs has always been like this, and it's done very well. There are some episodes that have to deal with, like, getting cartoons the right to vote that aren't necessarily political, but are still just politically kind of like have undertones, and it's cute and funny. Also, I give it that one because they made a Lunatics Unleashed joke, and that just gets a million points. But the reboot doesn't always stick. The first season is hilarious with a few hiccups, namely anytime they try to break off from the other characters. Anytime they tried to do something new, the new humor didn't land. The second season, on the second hand, really didn't. And this is where Tiny, well, I almost said Tiny Toons. This is where Animaniacs stumbled a little bit. The problem with Animaniacs at that point is that the reboot was still funny. The reboot still had funny bits. But as they went, they started becoming more and more socially aware. They would stop the show to make reference to the fact that Hello Nurse doesn't exist anymore. They stopped the show to talk about recycling and having this like energy efficient things. They stopped the show to talk about something else. And instead of being creative with the humor and having, like in the first season, creative satire that had a message behind it, they would just stop the show and have a message about, hey, go out and recycle. And that's fine and all, but sometimes it would interrupt the humor. And I just feel like it's okay to have these messages, but tell the messages well. Tell them the way I know you're good at telling them, which in the case of Animaniacs is with humor. The other thing that hurt the show is that the extended cast would constantly be referenced, but lol, we're a reboot, so we technically don't have to. We're going to acknowledge Slappy and Skippy, but nope, we're going to not. You're telling me that you couldn't find a random kid in the studio to be Mindy and have Buttons and Mindy come back, or the Good Feathers, or anyone else? You're going to acknowledge them in a one-off episode, but Chicken Boo? You can have Chicken Boo? The fact that Slappy keeps getting acknowledged and then, nope, no, we can't bring her back. No, we're not. We're going to try these new ideas. It's just, because it was just the Warners and Pinky and the Brain, the show struggled a bit for me. I think part of the reason that Animaniacs is so great is that you have so many great skits with so many great characters. And yes, the Warners are hilarious. Yes, Pinky and the Brain are hilarious. One of my favorite gags of all time is, Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering? And just whatever comes out of Pinky's mouth is so good. And season one nailed it. But as it went on, you can definitely tell that one of the things that made Animaniacs great was the extended cast. The extended cast is so good and so essential. So much so that one of the classic episodes, Animaniacs Stew, put characters in different situations. Like Slappy with the Warners, or Pinky and Rita, and she just eats him. I wish Rita and Runt were in here. Yes, we got Dr. Scratch and Sniff, but they also did a bunch of episodes with him where they made him like super antagonistic, and he didn't used to be antagonistic. If anything, the humor came from the Warners antagonizing him, and they do that once or twice, but now it's like, oh, he's vengeful for what those Warners did back in the 90s. Also, the way the series ends in season 3, I have seen that clip. Not a fan of the way they wiped that out. That the way season 2 ended, and the way they keep acknowledging that they didn't know if they were getting a season or not, really didn't work. They also had this like CEO lady who replaced the original CEO, and she was okay. I at least liked the fact that she would go toe-to-toe with the Warners and sometimes like outwit them, but ultimately be outwitted. Like that just worked well. But Animaniacs for me is also a mixed bag. I will at least always enjoy the first season. The first season had jokes that would carry over into future episodes. They would have a lot of really funny things. And the first season had a lot of great songs. The second season is a little bit mixed for me, and that's why I fell off of it. Maybe I'll check out the third season at some point. So, moving away from the Warner Brothers cartoon kind of things, let's go into the Disney realm of sequel series and such. And I'm going to start with Proud Family Louder and Prouder. Now, if you rewatched that episode, or you went back to that episode of Late Night Sprites where I talked about Proud Family Louder and Prouder, you should know that I have nothing but praise for the first season. And I still do. I rewatch the first season, and yes, they bring them into the modern age. They bring up rideshare services and cell phones and influencers, but they put such a good Proud Family spin on it. The humor is still great. Oscar is still a loser. BB and Cece are still, well, just babies, but I'll get to that in a moment. Sugar Mama is still hilarious. Penny is still a normal human character. She's not this like perfect little angel, but she's not irredeemable either. Penny is human and learns lessons as she grows. An episode that I still absolutely love. I personally don't care about the controversy. The money has already been paid. If you don't like this person, then don't support them now. But this was back before anything came out. There is an episode about finding your own voice that is still my favorite of the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, both seasons. It involves, yes, it involves Lizzo teaching Penny the lesson, but the lesson she learns and the moral that they convey at the end of the story of making something despite what you have, despite what other people say about you, and not letting anything drag you down, is such a good episode. I absolutely love that one. The episode tackled a lot of really different ideas, and it tackled them so well. It really stood out, and season one is still great. It's still funny. It's still got good humor. It's got really solid episodes and ideas. And even though not every episode was great, 95% of them were. There were barely a weak episode in the bunch, and it really was just great. Season two, on the other hand, I don't know what happened, but first off, we ended where season one ended, and we had a really solid episode for that, and it was actually a really cute episode. It made me wish that that was the season finale of episode one, like they swapped a couple episodes around, and maybe an episode that was an episode in season one was over here instead of leaving us on a giant cliffhanger for a year. That definitely kind of stunk a little bit. I wish they just wrapped that up in the season with the two-parter, but fine, whatever. And then it went downhill from there. I can only count on one to two hands the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder season two episodes I like. The opening episode, which is a two-parter. There's an episode where they're trying to find out if these puppies, like the family dog, like Sugar Mama's dog, like potentially has puppies with La Cienega's family dog, and they need to figure out who the puppies go to. That episode is funny. That episode was hilarious. That was one that made me smile. And that's about it. This season got super mean-spirited. Now, the first season kind of hinted at it a little bit, but the second season, yikes. Penny, you need some new friends, because my goodness, aside from your boyfriend, Penny, your friends suck. Penny's friends are mean. They put her down. They turn on each other constantly. They gossip. And yes, that does emulate real life, but you gotta tone it up, Disney. You gotta pull back. You can't have people be mean to each other 24/7. Originally, the only real mean friend was La Cienega, but some people are even going back to the original and being like, no, Penny's friends were terrible the whole time. But this show gets super mean-spirited. There's an episode where Penny's parents kick her out of her house. The gross-out humor gets turned out, like, in several episodes. I'm not going to go into detail because I'm going to gag just thinking about it, but the gross-out humor gets toned up like crazy. They keep trying to do episodes that have like a deeper meaning and not hitting it at all, because there's an episode where Zoe's dating a guy and the friend group disapprove of it, so they turn on Zoe. But at the end of the episode, even if those friends were right, They were still awful to her, and they never apologize. Zoe apologizes. Like, what the heck, man? That episode made me almost stop. But then I kept going, and they have a lot of episodes that remind you of real-world issues. And that's fine and all. Real-world issues are very real, but sometimes I want to watch a show just to watch a show. I want to go just to relax and have fun. I want to turn on my TV, pull up my Switch, and watch a show, not be reminded of the injustices in the world. Yes, it's important to fight injustices, and it's important to stand up, but this season got super mean-spirited, and if they do a third, if Disney wants to do a third, which I have no idea if it will or not, I hope they turn up the comedy and turn down the heavy-handed morals, and especially the mean-spiritedness, even without saying, oh, the show's woke now, oh, this, no. Even without any of that, just some of the episodes made me really bummed out, especially the ones where Penny's parents kicked her out of the house, or, like, her friends all turning on each other over a guy. And even at the end of the day, even if they were quote-unquote right, the way it was handled was so poor that my jaw was on the floor. But now it's time to go to a Disney reboot that I will never stop recommending. And that reboot is, of course, it's DuckTales. DuckTales is just one of those reboots that is once in a while where it is so good that it supersedes the original. Sometimes the original's better. Sometimes, on rare, rare occasion, the reboot is better. And DuckTales is one of those occasions. My goodness. DuckTales is something else. We know the story. It's Scrooge McDuck taking his family on adventures with the help of Mrs. Beakley and Webby, but the way the story goes so much deeper, the way they reference the Disney Afternoon, the way they reinvent characters like Gizmo Duck and Darkwing Duck, the way they reference shows like Gummy Bears or Tailspin, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, while having a heartfelt story about family and adventure and treasure, and how family is the greatest treasure of all. And then the first season was pretty dang good. And then the second season came around, and the second season was even better. And then the third season came around, and it got even better than that. How about an episode called Quack Pack, where the crew gets trapped in a sitcom, and to quote Andre from Black Nerd Comedy, it's WandaVision before WandaVision. And it's so good. It's such a solid episode. Or a two-part episode in season three, all about Darkwing Duck, called Let's Get Dangerous, which may or may not be a backdoor pilot for a Darkwing Duck reboot. I don't know. This is like my favorite version of Darkwing Duck. I love the original. Jim Cummings is amazing. The way they handle Darkwing Duck in this is incredible. But oh my gosh, the Darkwing Duck two-part episode is so good. The villains that overarch from season to season and then sometimes reappear. The continuity of this show is great. A character that you might see, like, at the end of season one might show up in the middle of season two and have an episode. And there's a character that I adore and love so much. The references in this show are incredible. This character gets a reference to the video game included with this character. One of my favorite characters in the show. I love all of the characters and the way they're handled. The show is funny, the show has heart, the show has adventure. But this character adds so much heart into the show. If you end up watching the show, watch through it. Do not stop after season one. Because the cliffhanger in season one gets a payoff in season two that is one of the most beautiful and emotional things I've ever seen. there is a storyline that gets wrapped up and then devolves into a new storyline involving one character that I absolutely love. So much so that I'm not even saying that character's name. All I will say is that this is my favorite character in the reboot. This character was a great idea. This character adds so much heart to the show. This character is hilarious. This character has a really awesome storyline. The way this character's storyline impacts the other characters is amazing. But yes, from all of the references to the Disney Afternoon, plus making brand new storylines, having cool Easter eggs while also being a well-written show, DuckTales Reboot is one of the best reboots I have seen in years, if not ever. I still rewatch this show. Sometimes I just pick a random episode. Sometimes I just put it on. That's how much I love this show. It's still hilarious. It's still heartwarming. It takes what we liked about the original and blasts it up to 11. The original still has some great things in it, and the original is still a classic in its own right, but this is the one. This, for me, is the definitive version of DuckTales, and that is the sign of a good reboot, where you take what was established, you start from ground zero, you change the storyline, you change the characters, you change everything while keeping some things still great, and you do that and you supersede the original. You start where the original did, at the bottom. You don't continue it, and that's why I prefer reboots. You don't continue it, you don't keep going, you just start over, and you take what worked and you fix what didn't. This version of Mrs. Beakley and Webby are so much better than the original. Mrs. Beakley, instead of being this worrywart, is just so cool. She's so awesome. I love her. Launchpad is still endearing. Webby is still endearing. The side characters are still great. The villains are still memorable. The villains even get these like really cool added backstories that work and are really fun. Yeah, I love DuckTales. And they kept the theme song. Like, Animaniacs kept the theme song because they knew that worked. Tiny Toons changed the lyrics, but the spirit of the original is there. The Proud Family theme song they had to change because I think there was like some contract dispute with it or something. I could be completely wrong here. The Proud Family theme song is also really good. The Louder and Prouder theme song is super good, and it fits the spirit of the original. This one just kept the original because it knew it worked. And I hope that if a Darkwing Duck reboot happens, that we do get this. And that's me talking about reboots and sequels. I do think that is enough from here. The only other one that I could potentially talk about is the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie, but that led to a failed episode of this podcast and a lot of thoughts and an episode that I think I did upload, but I actually deleted because yikes. Yeah, the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie. I might need to talk about that at some point and give my extended thoughts on it because I was not the biggest fan of it. But that's for another time. But thank you for sitting through this longer episode on cartoon reboots and sequels, some of my favorites, going into details, sharing some of my thoughts on them. I did two from Warner Brothers and two from Disney, and I don't think Nickelodeon has ever done a reboot. Nickelodeon's never, you know what? Nickelodeon should reboot things sometimes. I know that, because here's the thing, the Invader Zim movie and the Rocko's Modern Life movie, those aren't reboots. Those are straight up sequels. Those are in the same continuity. Static Kling and whatever the Invader Zim movie is called, both of those are just in the same world and in the same time. Maybe a little bit in the future, but yeah, those didn't change. Okay, so thinking, Yeah, I don't think Nickelodeon has ever done any reboots. I mean, SpongeBob is still going. Fairly Odd Parents was continuous. You know what? If Nickelodeon was to reboot anything, Nickelodeon should reboot L.T. Grey and My Life as a Teenage Robot. L.T. Grey would be really cool in terms of Mexican representation and also having a cool superhero show, because superheroes are still cool as long as you're not like in the Marvel or DC universe, because like Spider-Verse and Invincible and other properties prove that you don't need to be in a superhero universe to have a cool superhero idea. And My Life as a Teenage Robot is just amazing and deserves more love. I mean, both of them are going to be in that Nick All-Stars Brawl game that's coming up. So, yeah, those would be nice. Those would be cool. Those would be neat. So Nickelodeon should reboot those. But maybe I'll talk further about Nickelodeon in the future. But thank you so much for sticking with me. Thank you so much for being here and listening to this longer episode about cartoon reboots and sequels, and just letting me ramble about some of my favorites. I hope you have an amazing day, an amazing morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you are listening to the show. And thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself, take care of your mental health, and I will be back with more non-video game related content in the future. So movie, cartoons, shows, music, no gaming content November is underway. I have some fun episode ideas planned. Thank you so much for sticking with me. If you want to, head over to the blog, latenightsprites.blogspot.com, where I recently talked about the Back to the Future musical. Or you can listen to more episodes of this podcast. I talked about some of my favorite Halloween episodes as a little Halloween special, but I also did some other like little fun things. If you want some gaming content, there is some on the blog at latenightsprites.blogspot.com. You just have to go back a bit. Or you can listen to some of these episodes. If you want a gaming related episode, I highly recommend the one where I reviewed every single game in the Cowabunga collection. I am really proud of that one. But take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. I'm Homecoming Hero, and I will be back again soon. Take care.